Appeasing the dictator will not end the war, but allow it to continue. We would be ignorant to think that giving parts of Ukraine to Putin will ease him and will be enough for him. He has proven that his delusions of expanding Russian imperialism extend well beyond our front. Ukraine is tired of defending the rest of the world's freedoms. Ukraine is tired of upholding international treaties for Russia to just throw their commitments away with little international consequence. Ukraine is tired of burying their families and watching their homes burn. Now, more than ever, we must persist in our aggressive support of Ukraine. We must continue to fight for the international law and for real consequence for contradicting it. Putin is testing the waters in Ukraine, but he's picked the wrong victim. Ukraine will continue to defend herself and the rest of the world until real justice is served and until Ukraine is free. And we will prevail. Until then, I urge you to continue to provide your support in every way you already have these past 102 days of this war. It does make a difference. Your presence, support, and your action is heard. Today we'll be focusing on the human aspect of this war, on the humanitarian appeals that have been conducted, and on real stories from Ukraine. So a few of the speakers are still in Ukraine, so they've sent through recordings. I appreciate your patience. It's a little bit frustrating to listen to a recording, I can understand, but they've got important stories to tell. To start off with, I'd like to invite to the stage Elliot. He's a journalist from, he's just returned from Kyiv, and he's currently editing a three-part podcast series on the war in Ukraine. I had a listen a couple of weeks back, and it's brought me to tears. It's beautiful stuff. So I'll turn to Elliot.
Thank you. I also have a documentary that's been completed, and it's going to get released in the next 2 weeks as well. So yeah, my name's Elliot Goodyear. I'm an independent journalist, so I paid my own way to get to Ukraine. I spent a lot of time in Poland as well talking to refugees. I'm going to tell you some of their stories, and I'm sure they'd appreciate you listening. Louder? Okay. Thanks. 100 days of war. 100 days of air raid sirens across Ukraine. When Putin's army fires missiles into Ukrainian airspace, you hear sirens, sometimes for hours. 100 days of war. When 13-year-old Daria wakes up in Warsaw Central Station, her home is under attack. She works 12 hours a day as a translator in the Central Station. She speaks six languages and helps refugees fleeing the horror of war. When an elderly woman from Mariupol reaches the border after 5 days, she gets her blood pressure checked. She tells the medic that her husband died several years before and she needed to get out. So she gets all of her savings, $21,000, in a bag, and walks up to a Russian soldier. She thinks that either he will kill her and this will all be over, or she will get out. The soldier says that he'll be back in 10 minutes and asks her to wait in the snow. He returns with a driver and $2,000 to get her through each Russian checkpoint until she reaches the other side. He gives her a hug and says he wishes he could come with her. 100 days of war. When Yaroslav is hallucinating, he hears rockets and shelling. He's a historian, an antique dealer, and he is now a two-time refugee. 100 days ago, a friend rats him out to Russian Secret Service, and he leaves only with the clothes on his back before the rail line is cut. 2,000 days ago, he is a refugee for the first time. In Donbass, war breaks out and hundreds of thousands are displaced. This 100-day war stretches more than 8 years, with millions of civilians caught in the crossfire. 8 years of war. This 8-year war continues on. I spent over a month in Poland and Ukraine interviewing refugees and soldiers, volunteers and Ukrainians who have stayed behind. The people who stayed are now accustomed to the war, and the fear of death has been replaced by a love for each other. For every refugee in distress, I met 100 people trying to help them. This 8-year war is not ending, but the people of Ukraine will not give up. 100 days of war, 8 years of war. Thank you.
He's under the name of Rubber Ammo on. I listened on Spotify. It's beautiful. Please do listen. I'd now like to pay some short moment of respect to many of the humanitarian relief efforts that have been conducted, some in dangerous parts. Last week, Tasmanian Australian by the name of Michael O'Neill was killed in the crossfire in Ukraine. He was 47 years of age, 3 children. He was volunteering his time, ferrying the injured back and forth from the front line, and he was killed. I'll have a moment of silence, and then we'll play a song that we all know, Oyuluzi, to pay respects to all those that have passed.
Oyuluzi, Cervana Galina, Pofiquila Sala, Chos Nasha Slama Ukraina, Za.
Many of you may have heard of Nick Yanyev, who is a Melbourne Ukrainian who sold up his life and moved to Poland or Ukraine to help in the humanitarian effort. He's obviously still over there, but has sent through a recording of an explanation, an update on what's happening at the front, what's happening humanitarily over in Ukraine, and please listen to what he has to say.
Hello, my name's Nick Yanyev of the Ukrainian Guardian Angels, and thank you all for attending today's rally, arranged by the Association of Ukrainians in Victoria. I've been asked to speak about the human stories of Ukraine, and it's hard to pick where to begin because daily I'm confronted with people's stories, dozens of them. So no one being less more important than the other, I've formulated this speech to capture the issues faced in a general sense rather than a specific sense. So I'll begin with the stories of sadness. I see beautiful couples with too much dignity to ask for help, falling asleep at bus stations, train stations and benches just to get through the day. There's a sobering state of walking through the hospitals, witnessing the brutality of this war. People with missing arms, legs, and other gruesome things. Meeting rape victims released after weeks of torture. You can see the cracks of their souls evident in their eyes. The shell-shocked offenders, twitchy and shaking, while striving to maintain composure and managing their PTSD. Children burying their parents burying their children, grandparents burying both their children and their grandchildren, people living underground without enough food or water, a series of destroyed buildings and vehicles with bloodstains left behind, the damaged souls that walk the street with an air of instability, tension and conflict, people so broken from their loss that they've lost their souls, their purpose in life, and walk aimlessly into the darkness day after day. Couple that with foreign ugliness, many other lost souls adding strain to systems, managing to handle the strain of refugees in the internally displaced crisis, as well as profiteers acting under the guise of helping. The raped babies, an alien concept, so morally corrupt, the thing that keeps me going every day when I'm exhausted, and the thing that gets me out of bed every day when I haven't had enough sleep. There are stories of beauty. There's a handful of dedicated people committed to the pursuit of delivering all forms of aid where it's needed and most needed. Refugee families giving up their homes to the internally displaced. Western cities providing moments of escapism with buskers littering the streets, doing what they can to get by whilst providing vibrancy, positivity, and historical culture to passers-by. There are internally displaced volunteering to help the other internally displaced that need help. When I meet these people, I can't help but admire them. I came here to help people in their position, yet they're helping people in their position. Local NGOs determined to drive all night for 2,500-kilometre round trips to get food and medicine where it's needed, just to get back behind the wheel the next day and do it all again. I'm working with Ukrainians who have a focus on collecting and caring for children with disabilities and cancer who have no carers. They have military approval to drive and take me to areas in Ukraine where foreigners aren't typically allowed to go for the purpose of this pursuit. A strong attitude of never give up, and Sunday's my only day off, if that. I've cut the stories of beauties in segment of this speech short So I've also been asked to represent the work the Ukrainian Guardian Angels do that ties directly to the beauty I've attached myself to in this landscape. The UGA have worked with national and foreign operators to build warehouse facilities in over a dozen key locations across the country, facilitating aid from west to east. This helps us get more aid requests over the line and provides efficiencies in the movement of goods. We proudly work with two of the Amazons, fearless women who have been hand-delivering aid to the front line since 2014. These women advise me on what is needed, who needs it, and why, and they're a key part of the UGA's zero corruption policy. The UGA's collaboration with International Rotary Club of Lviv, working on field hospital improvements, water filtration projects, and backup power supplies for hospitals. Rotary clubs in Australia will be hearing from me soon. A team of foreign military personnel and combat medics whom the UGA have empowered to conduct their missions with the facilitation of medical equipment, labour resources, tactical equipment, and vehicles ranging from 4x4s, vans and ambulances. This team gave me acknowledgement as a member of the Territorial Defence Force within my first month of being in Ukraine and has a letter of acknowledgement from Zelensky's office, further empowering our collective pursuits. Being said, this isn't a Hollywood movie. This is genocide. It's clear the goal isn't a military defeat. The goal here is to break the identity of Ukraine, break our families, spread our people so we're not united, and to break our spirits. This is what we cannot allow. And this is why we need to unite, push back to defend what is ours, to protect our history and every facet of what has raised us, to respect our ancestors fought for, and from generation to generation over hundreds of years, continue the fighting. I would like to finalize this account of the reality in Ukraine with two things. Firstly, I'd like to thank every donor who has contributed to the efforts I've pursued. Thank you for trusting me to be a vessel for you to have a direct impact on the people of Ukraine. Donations, big or small, have gone a long way, and some of you know I'm self-funded. I do not, nor will not, use any donation funds to cover overheads. This is my philosophy and my principle. Finally, I'd like to portray to you what I acknowledge is the bigger picture issue. We all know tens of millions of dollars have been raised to assist in this war, although due to politics, bureaucracy, and the governing principle of these funds, the vast majority are focused on humanitarian aid, and therefore not allowed to be spent on the men and women risking their lives facing the Russians every day. Daily, I receive reports from the front requesting socks, underwear, T-shirts, boots, and basic equipment the Territorial Defence Force are undersupplied in, amongst other requests of survival equipment. Ukrainian fighters are fighting in Nike T-shirts and sneakers, clothes covered in mud from a week ago. No access to the basics, let alone tactical equipment. What I see is a cart of diluting humanitarian supply pulled by a haggard pony. As such, now that the UGA has established the logistics network for incoming aid, our sole focus is on frontline support. The reason for this should be obvious. With the people who are responsible for stopping our land becoming Russian-occupied land, not equipped to fulfill their role, then the chances of success on the battlefield decrease. Our people are not killers, rapists, Nazis, pedophiles, nor pursue the murder of civilians and children. They're everyday men and women doing what they have to do to get back to their families and their normal life. I do not fear us losing this war, for we will win. What I fear is the cost of this and what is left behind when the world is rid of Vladimir Putin. My goal to minimize this cost is to work together and empower the front lines. Please get on Facebook and become a Ukrainian Guardian Angel by joining our group. And together, we will preserve what remains of our people and the culture of Ukraine. Slava Ukraini.
You can hear his defeat in his voice. He's obviously been there long enough to paint the things that he's witnessed, the things that he's doing, the things that he's trying to prevent. It's demoralizing. But there's always hope. We will win. We know that we will win. And we know that one day, hopefully soon, Putin will die and the world is a much less evil place. Okay, now another person that you're all well acquainted with is Mr. Stefan Romaniev, who isn't with us today. He's in Kyiv or Poland or somewhere, and he's also sent you a recording. Again, I apologize, it's a recording, but Stefan, I suppose, speaks a little bit louder. Mark, please, if you'd show us Stefan.
Слава Ісусу Христу і слава Україні! Добрі подруги, друзі, передаю вам палкий привіт від нашої столиці Київ, в імені Світового Конгресу Українців та та в імені Союзу українських організацій Австралії. Знаєте, будучи тут в Україні те кілька днів, можна відчути цей дух до перемоги. Можна відчути, як сильний цей український народ є. Можна відчути, що не будуть ніякі бар'єри, які не дадуть Україні виграти цю війну. Це вже понад 100 днів тої російської агресії. 100 днів, де Росія мордує наших дітей, гвалтує наших жінок, забиває наших вояків. Але вони всі є героями. Вони не будуть забуті. Я був в Бучі, де наш мер Буча нам розповідав про те, чого сталося, те, чого ми бачили на телебаченню і в наших газетах. Але бути тут, бачити це все, навіть можна понюхати цей дим в Ірпені, в Бучі. Бачимо там, де наші діти переховані. Ми мали нагоду бути в одній школі, де мала дівчина мала певні аспірації бути місцем. І остання її праця є на столі. Що це значить? Що ця бідна дитина винна? І тому Росія мусить відповідати за ці воєнні злочинці. Ми сьогодні далі воюємо. Сам факт, що ви вийшли на вулицю, що ви далі проводите ці акції, це значить, ми є об'єднані. І тому закликаю вас до дальшої праці, щоб ми далі вимагали від австралійського уряду те, що потрібно Україні. Щоб ми далі домагалися до це, щоб Росія відповідала за всі ці злочини. Але ми є сильні. І знову хочу підкреслити. Тяжко через телефон передавати почуття. Але хочу підкреслити, що я б я міг це почуття вам передати. Це є почуття, що ми сильні, ми єдині, будемо воювати. Україна – це наша. Тому дякую вам, бажаю вам успішної маніфестації. Слава Україні! Героям слава! Слава Україні! Greetings from Kyiv. As I stand here in Mikhailovska Plosha and see the ruined Russian tanks and other artillery, it's an indication that Ukraine is winning this war. It's surreal to be standing here because the day that I left Australia, I saw the photos in the newspapers, and here I am standing amongst this equipment that is indication that the Ukrainian armed forces are strong, the Ukrainian people are strong. In all our meetings over the last few days, we've met with a range of government people, civil society, and the man in the street. And the message is very, very much the same. We will win this. We will fight. We will not lose. The world will win when we win. But there has been a big call out. And our call out is this. We need more military weaponry. Give us the weapons and we'll continue to fight. Stop the air flow and we will also win. No fly zone. We need that. We need advocacy. We need ongoing sanctions. But the important thing is that we do this in a united way. So you standing on the streets of Melbourne today are joining with Ukraine. We have these rallies around the world and together we are strong. And I would like to just finish with some of the words that the mayor of Bucha said to us as we visited Irpin and Bucha. We're not scared. We will fight. We've been through this. This is a war that's been going on since 2014. And the atrocities of Bucha, they will not be forgotten. They will not be forgotten. Those who perished and died in horrific ways will not be forgotten. The little children, we visited a school in Bucha, a little girl who had artistic abilities. We saw her last painting. And if that doesn't move people, I don't know what will. Therefore, on behalf of the Australian Federation of Ukrainian Organizations and also on behalf of the Ukrainian World Congress, thank you for everything that you do because every bit helps. And together we are united. Together we are strong. Together we will win. Slava Ukraini, do peremoge.
I've got this image in my head of every time we sink a battleship or kill a soldier or put them on trial for war crimes, which is thousands and thousands more to come, hundreds of thousands more to come. I imagine him sitting at his big desk in his big office made of gold, and his blood pressure is boiling, and he's cracking it. He's about to blow a gasket, and God willing, he does one day. I imagine that every time a Russian citizen stands up and says, this is wrong, this is not my Russia, this is not Ukraine's war, this is Putin's war, he would be sitting in his big golden office screaming, yeah, to the heavens and angry at the world. So I'd like to introduce you to a member of the Svoboda Alliance who, as I'm sure you all know, has been protesting against the war, against Putin's war, every week for a long, long time. Thank you. So, Jane, if you wouldn't mind, please, coming forward.
My name is Jane. I'm Russian-Australian, and I stand with Ukraine. Thanks. 100 days of this horrible genocide. I can't sleep. I can't breathe. I'm only praying for Ukraine to win. Ukraine is a frontier of the free world, and we are grateful to you for fighting tyranny that we, Russians, miserably let bloom in our country. As a Russian Australian, we can only support every initiative that Ukrainian community comes up with, either sanctions, military, or humanitarian support. As a president of Svoboda Alliance Victoria and a team member of Svoboda Alliance team in all states of Australia, we want you to know that we are organized, and this is not an only voice out of the crowd. So, at the moment, we are renamed the Ukrainian Street in Sydney. At the moment, the team of Svoboda Alliance in New South Wales are sending medical kits to Ukrainian Army. One of our team members, the president of Svoboda Alliance, New South Wales, Mr. Ilya Fomin, had burned his Russian passport as an act against of the Russian military invasion of Ukraine. We would be happy to hear Ukrainian voice and adjust our position if you feel that we are counterproductive to a common goal of fighting Putin's Russia, six emperor tyrannies. And that's one thing I want to say to you, I hope, in Ukrainian language, because my grandma was Ukrainian. She lived in Kherson area. So, unfortunately, I can't speak Ukrainian language but a little bit, but I can understand what you're talking about in Ukrainian language. So, боритеся! Поборете вам Бог помогає! Слава Україні! Thanks for having me.
There's nothing stronger than a united front. The whole world can unite together to stand against Putin's Russia, to stand against his genocide, and together we will prevail. I want you all to leave today with a feeling of hope, with a feeling of being one, with a feeling of action. It's difficult to stand here and to think that we're doing anything, but I guarantee you, our friends in Ukraine, our friends in Poland, they're sending images, they're sending the message, they're sending the support, and that warmth is felt. Do not be disheartened. Do not switch off the television. Do not stop talking about it. Do not stop sharing videos on Facebook, on Instagram. Do not stop talking about it at work. Do not stop flying that flag on your front door or in your cars. Do not stop handing out badges, whatever it is, ribbons, anything. Do not stop. Ukrainian flag is still standing proud, still waving on top of Victorian Parliament. Who'd have thought that that would ever be the case? It's horrible that it's come to this, but it's good that we are all still here. It is good that we are all still standing. It is good that we're all still talking about this. Do not stop. The Association of Ukrainians in Victoria is still running a lot of humanitarian aid. They've got a humanitarian aid committee, which is now entering into phase two of its process, which is supporting those that are already here, and there are a few. There's a lot of activities happening, a lot of, you might have seen last week, there was a dinner for Ukraine prepared by Ukrainians who have recently arrived, and it was met with great success. So thank you so much for that support. We'll continue to run more events. Please continue to support them. Please continue to reach out to any recently arrived Ukrainians. Reach out to the AUV or to SUAWA, any other group that you feel the need to reach out to. Just do not stop talking. Do not stop speaking. do not stop supporting Ukraine. Thank you very much. We'll end in a song, and that will be the end of today's rally. If you can please share any images you've taken today on the AUV Facebook page or even on your own social media, and we'll share as much as we can. Let's get the message out there. Slava Ukraini!
Моє ім'я Батьківщина, велике лохе крило.
Моє ім'я Україна, і сонечка тепло.
Моє ім'я вишиванка, я хрестик на полотні.
Моє ім'я синє небо, і сон як малий піти.
Україна сия, бо мені пісні. Україна сия.
Моє ім'я степ широкий, моє ім'я хліба спав.
Останній шкільний дзвіночок насипим тіпом туман.
Моє ім'я – то надія, моє ім'я – то любов.
Моє ім'я – чиста мрія і віра, що з нами Бог.
Дано пісня Україна – це я.